The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 31. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and make nests in its branches. Then he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and hid or mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the prophets. I will open my mouth and speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Upon finding a pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought that pearl. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood these things? Jesus asked them. They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every teacher or scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Brothers and sisters, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you understood all of these things? Jesus asked them. Yes, we have, they answered. We have to start today where we end, with this last verse of the Gospel. Therefore, every teacher, Jesus says, who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of the house who brings out of his treasury that which is new and that which is old. Beginning with Abraham and Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the children of the tribes of Jacob, God chose a particular people for a particular mission in a particular time in order that those children of God, those who had been chosen by God, might be a light, might be a beacon of hope that would draw to God all the peoples, all the nations of the world. This was always God's plan to bring the world to God, to bring all of creation to God for renewal and blessing, so that all would be one, so that all would be restored into one family, into the family of God. I've said this to you before, I'm quite sure, that my theme for the commentary that I probably should write someday on Matthew's Gospel is this: something old, something new, something borrowed, something true. Matthew understands that in Jesus, God is doing something new. Matthew understands this, and he's more than happy to reassert this, that God is in Jesus. He is forming a new family. It's no longer a particular people, but it's a priestly people of every nation and every tribe to give God glory and to work for the vision that God has for this world that God loves and that God wants to restore. God is up to something new in Jesus, but God is also up to something old. God has been doing this since chapter 3 in Genesis, when the world fell from God's created goodness into sin. God did set them out of the garden, and God set a barrier so they couldn't return, but God clothed them in their nakedness. God took away their shame, and God protected them so that they might continue to move forward in life in order to flourish, in order to be restored into that relationship that God so desperately wants and longs for. And so in Matthew's gospel, Matthew is always proclaiming what God is doing in Jesus, but he's always connecting it to Old Testament readings like Isaiah or the Psalms. And we have that again in our text before us this morning. Something old, something new, something borrowed from Isaiah or the Psalms, and something true. God is trying to express to you and me these things that are hidden from that have been hidden from the foundation of the earth. And that's why I included verses 34 and 35 in our text today. Verses that are originally left out of this text. And in those verses, we're told that Jesus spoke to the people in parables in order to reveal to them or to proclaim to them what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. And I believe that we are still seeking that which is hidden from the foundation of the world. Why does God keep it hidden? You know, that's one of the mysteries that I really can't answer. But on one level, I believe it's connected to this idea of the rich man and Lazarus that we hear in the Gospels. That story of a rich man who died and went to Hades, we're told. Where he was burning up from the heat, and he could not quench his thirst. And in the distance, across a great chasm, he sees Lazarus, a poor man, a man who was poor and begged throughout his life, sitting in the bosom of Abraham. And he asked the attendant of Hades to send for Lazarus so that he could dip his finger in the water and cool his tongue while he was tormented there in Hades. And the response to that is that this chasm is fixed and it can't be changed. Then send someone from the dead. Send someone back to my brothers. I have a lot of brothers and they need to hear this. And the answer is, if they did not believe Moses and the prophets, then they're not going to believe even if someone rises from the dead and comes to tell them about these hidden things of salvation, these hidden things that reveal to us God's work of something old, something new, something borrowed, and something true. Jesus speaks in parable to reveal these things that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. So what are these things? What are these things that Jesus is trying to reveal in parable? Well, this first parable today is about a mustard seed, about the smallest of all seeds that when sown in a garden or in a field, it grows up to be the greatest of shrubs, and in fact it becomes a tree, something like some of the trees that that surround me, probably not, but trees that are big enough that birds can come and make their nest in them. First of all, we need to recognize that God is telling us, or Jesus is telling us through these parables, that the kingdom of God is in our midst. Every one of these parables talks about something that's here with us, something in our world, something common. And he uses that something common to tell us about something hidden and extraordinary about God's kingdom and God's work. Well, in this parable of the mustard seed, Jesus is teaching us that God's kingdom is here. It's so close we can touch it. And because it's here, he's telling us that it is there in God's kingdom that we find a home. It's where we find our true home. The Apostle Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 3, where he says our true home, or our commonwealth, or there are some other translations, but ultimately what Paul means is our true home is in heaven. And it is from there, he says, that we await a Savior to come again in fullness of his glory to make all things new, to separate, to drive out that which is death-dealing, and to raise up that which is good and life-giving. So we can work and work and work to make our homes and our neighborhoods what we want them to be, but they are temporal, they are temporary. And Jesus is teaching us the hidden truth that God's kingdom is here, so close we can touch it, and that's where we find our home. In God's word, among God's people, it's where we find our true home. When I was growing up, I would play football on the lawn with my cousins, and I was the bridge kid in my cousins on my dad's family. I think there were 13, and I was the right. There were six on either side of me, and so I got to play with the older kids, and I got to play with the younger kids. It was a pretty good place to be, but my older cousin was a really good athlete, and he, you know, whenever we'd play football, you know, if the ball would be thrown to me and it hit my hand, or I'd reach out and touch it, he'd always say to me, "You know what? If you can touch it, you can catch it." And that's kind of what Jesus is saying through all of these parables today. If you can touch it, you can catch it. Or if you can touch it, it will catch you. And it might be a little bit of both. But in this first parable, Jesus teaches us that our true home is in heaven. Or is it not in heaven necessarily, but in relationship with God. Our true home is in relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. In this second parable, and again, these parables they have multiple layers, and so I'm only hitting one layer today. But in this second parable of the yeast and the woman who, it's actually the Greek word is the same as the buried treasure. She hid the yeast in the flour until it was all leavened. Well, what is Jesus trying to teach us with this parable? Well, I think that what the secret that he's trying to reveal to us is that, again, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is here through Jesus. And it's a kingdom that wants to help you rise. Isn't that what yeast does to dough? I used to love to watch my mom bake bread. She'd put that yeast in there and she'd knead it around till it was all leavened, and pretty soon she'd let it sit and cover it maybe with a cloth, and pretty soon that thing was overflowing the bowl, and she'd push it down again and she'd knead it some more and then cover it again, and before long it was the warmth would bring it to life and it would rise. What a great message that Jesus brings to us. That it's the kingdom of God. It's through God's word. Again, through God's word and our relationship with God's people. And our relationship with God through Jesus and the Spirit. It's through those relationships that we rise. Nothing in this world will help us rise in that same way. It may make us feel good. It may put us on a mountaintop experience. It might You know, it might make us feel like we can conquer the world, you know. Again, it's temporary. It's not going to last. And it's only through the kingdom of God that is here with us in Jesus that we find a kingdom where the king and all of its powers wants to help us rise. Not only after we die, yes, after we die, that power is there to help us rise, absolutely. But today, the world knocks us down. We seek justice and strive for truth. We seek to lift up the lowly, and we get knocked down. And Jesus tells us that already in the Sermon on the Mount. You're going to be persecuted for doing what's right. You're going to be persecuted for following me. He told us a few weeks ago that you're going to get scars, and you'll get them from doing what's wrong, and you're going to get them from doing what's right and in love and in faithfulness. So you might as well get them by being faithful. The world wants to knock us down, but Jesus and his kingdom, the kingdom of God, wants to raise us up. And that's a hidden thing. It's a hidden thing that takes some discovering, that takes some mining to find and discover in our lives. Speaking of mining, we find in the next parable, we find one who comes across a hidden treasure, buries it in a field, and goes and sells all that he has because he sees that it's hidden worth. Jesus is trying to teach us that the kingdom of God has a hidden worth. A hidden worth that we may not see, that we may not pay any attention to, that we may not comprehend its value. And Jesus doesn't want us only to comprehend that value when it's too late. He wants us to comprehend it now, while we have time to invest ourselves in it, while we have time to root ourselves in it and bear fruit for that kingdom, where it's truly that thing that gives us life. The same is true with a pearl of great price. We have a merchant who is seeking it. He's been seeking and seeking and seeking, and finally he finds a pearl of such great value that he goes and sells everything that he has to purchase that one pearl. It's captured his heart. That pearl has captured his heart. And Jesus is telling us, when we seek his kingdom, it will capture our heart. Where your heart is, Jesus says, there your treasure will be also. We find the kingdom. When we find that life-giving kingdom that lasts, Jesus says it will capture your heart. Throughout the Word of God, we hear of these hidden things. Hear of these hidden things in Scripture, and I want to share a few of those with you today. In Proverbs chapter 2, we hear these words: "My child, if you accept my words and treasure my commandments in your heart within you, if you make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver," again, a temporal thing, "if you seek it like silver," a worldly thing, something that's going to perish, but something that people have sought for its wealth and its value, "if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Earlier in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says to his listeners, "Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all that you need." All those things that you worry about, food and shelter and clothing, all of those things will be given to you as well. Why? Because your Father loves you. In another place in the Gospels, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Jesus is revealing to us the hidden things of the kingdom of his Father, the one who continues to work to redeem this world, to bring it into the things that are truly life-giving. And so we return to the parables of the day once again, with this last parable that talks to us about the kingdom of God, heaven, or the kingdom of God. That place where God reigns is like a net. Jesus says it's like a net that is thrown into the sea, and it catches fish of every kind. And he tells us that when that net was full, it was drawn ashore, and they sat down and they separated. They separated that which was good and life-giving from that which is evil and death-dealing. And that which is evil and death-dealing was destroyed in the furnace of fire. This is at least the third time now that Jesus is talking to us about the judgment that's coming. He's giving us a warning that if we only invest in life, if we only invest in this life, if we only invest in the things of this world, said it's coming. The fire is coming and it's going to be burned up. If all I do is produce fruit of this life, wealth and riches and comfort for myself, said it's all going to be burned up. We see this in chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel. The separation of the sheep and the goats. He says to the sheep, "Well done. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me." And they said, "When did we see you, Lord?" And he said, "Well, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." And then we hear the goats. We hear what the Lord says to the goats. "When I was hungry, you gave me no food. When I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me." And they said, "When did we see you? We couldn't see you, Jesus." And he said, "When you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." How many excuses don't we have? We didn't see it. We didn't know it. We didn't understand it. We couldn't comprehend its worth. Jesus is telling us that excuses in the end aren't going to work. He's calling us to open our eyes. He's calling us to look for the treasure. He's calling us to let the Spirit raise us up to new insights and new life and to new ways of being. To look beyond ourselves. To care about those who are hungry and thirsty, naked and in prison. To care about those who get walked on. To care about those whose lives don't matter. Care about things that we typically just don't pay any attention to, our brothers and sisters who are in need. And I don't know that Jesus is asking you or me to change, to turn the world over, to change the world in ways that we can't. He's asking us to do what we can. Start small, to start in our neighborhood, start by being vulnerable, start by listening, start by opening our hearts. And as we do that, the Spirit will do the work. The Spirit will find us. The Spirit will transform us. Jesus really is that hidden mystery. He really is God's hidden desire to bring you and I to life. And he wants to save us. He wants to save us from ourselves. He wants to save us from the world. He wants to save us for his kingdom. And he has done that. He has started that through his own death and resurrection. A death and resurrection that we are connected to in the waters of our baptism. A baptism that we're called to remember and to re-enter every day, to die to ourselves, so that we might give ourselves to the Lord by giving ourselves to one another and to the world and to its redemption. There was a time and a place when Jesus called a single people, a particular people, in a particular time for a particular mission. But now Jesus, through the Spirit, is calling everyone. People of every color and every tribe, of every nationality. That net is full. It's going to be full. And it's going to be diverse. And you might be surprised. You might be surprised where the good news comes from for you. And you might be surprised that you are the good news for someone who doesn't look like you or isn't like you. Jesus is tearing down the borders and the boundaries and the barriers so that his word can continue to go out and bear fruit. Dear friends, be made new today, again in the power of Jesus Christ through the forgiveness of your sins, so that today and tomorrow and every day is a new day and a new beginning for you in God's kingdom. A new day for you to blossom. A new day for you to bear fruit. A new day for you to bring joy, to bring hope, to bring life and blessing to the world around you. Amen.